These are African rhythms, passed down to us through ancient spirits. Feel the spirit, a unifying force. Come on, move with the spirit. Stand up, clap your hands.
From WSNC 90.5 FM, a broadcasting service of Winston-Salem State University, welcome to Africa World Now Project. I'm your host and producer, James Pope. Today, the social and political philosophy of Dr. Kwame Nkrumah with Dr. Kofi Kissi Dumpre. Africa World Now Project is next. Ghana's first prime minister and president after declaring their independence on March 6, 1957, and founding member of the Organization of African Unity, wrote in the preface of his 1969 second edition of his work titled Consciousism, Philosophy and Ideology for Decolonization that, since the publication of the first edition of Consciousism in 1964, the African Revolution has decisively entered a new phase, the phase of armed struggle. In every part of our continent, African revolutionaries are either preparing for armed struggle or actively engaged in military operations against the forces of reaction and counter-revolution. The issues are now clearer than they have ever been. The succession of military coups which have in recent years taken place in Africa have exposed the close links between the interests of neocolonialism and the indigenous bourgeoisie. These coups have brought into sharp relief the nature and extent of the class struggle in Africa. Foreign monopoly capitalists are in close association with local reactionaries and have made use of officers among the armed forces in order to frustrate the purposes of the African Revolution. According to historian John Henry Clark in his 1974 article titled Kwame Nkrumah, His Years in America, the influence of the 10 years that Kwame spent in the United States would have a lingering effect on the rest of his life. Key to the maturation of his socio-political philosophy during these 10 years, Kwame Nkrumah, along with Nnamdi Azikiwe, the first president of Nigeria, attended Lincoln University in Pennsylvania. Dr. Clark goes on in his 1974 article published by Black Scholar that there is no way to understand Dr. Kwame Nkrumah or any other man without also understanding the country in which he was born and to what extent that country and the circumstances of his birth did influence the total of his life. The Gold Coast, now Ghana, was a colony whose people never acknowledged their colonial status. They engaged the British in a series of wars known as the Ashanti Wars that lasted over 100 years. In these wars, the people let it be known that they would never live peacefully under foreign domination. When Kwame Nkrumah was born in 1903, these military wars were over and a new kind of leader emerged in this country. E. Casely Hayford was the most outstanding of these new men. Kwame Nkrumah grew to manhood while the agitation against the restrictions of colonial rule was being converted into the agitation for the eventual independence. The journey that brought Kwame Nkrumah to Lincoln University, along with the interactions he had with people like C.L.R. James, George Patmore, Nnamdi Azikiwe, students at Howard and Lincoln University, his summer spent in Harlem walking down 125th, listening to the Street Scholars, as well as Italy's invasion of Ethiopia, all proved to be vital in shaping his intellectual and practical worldview. Dr. Clark writes, this learning was later reflected in an early work authored by Kwame Nkrumah titled Toward Colonial Freedom, published in London in 1947, 2 years after the fifth historic Pan-African Conference in Manchester, England. According to Dr. Clark, this sadly neglected work is key to his thinking and clear indication of what his future development and direction would be. In the foreword of the 1962 reprint of this pamphlet, Kwame Nkrumah wrote, when I was a student in the United States, I was revolted by the ruthless colonial exploitation and political repression of the people of Africa that I knew no peace. The matter exercised my mind to such a degree that I decided to put down my thoughts in writing and to dilate on the results of some of my research concerning the subject of colonialism and imperialism. This, of course, was not the last time Kwame Nkrumah would pen his thoughts on the subject, not simply as an exercise in intellectual appeasement, but in an attempt to provide deep analysis on the implications of colonialism and imperialism, which can inform a deep approach to addressing the evolutionary nature of these implications. Today, Africa World Now Project Radio will bring you a recent exploration into the social and political philosophy of Kwame Nkrumah with Dr. Kofi Kissi Dumpre, Dr. Dupre is professor of economics at Howard University. He is author of many scientific and scholarly works in economics, philosophy, and decision theory. Some of this work includes his 2006 Polyrhythmicity, his 2017 The Theory of Philosophical Consciousness, his 2006 African Union Pan-African Analytical Foundations, his 2007 The Theory of Categorical Conversion, and his 1995 Epistemics of Development Economics Toward a Methodological Critique and Unity. Our show is produced today in solidarity with the Native, Indigenous, and Afro-descendant communities at Standing Rock, Venezuela, Brazil, Colombia, Kenya, the Avalon Village in Detroit, Palestine, Jackson, Mississippi, South Africa, and Ghana, and other places who are fighting for the protection of our land for the benefit of all peoples. Enjoy the program.
Philosophical conscientism, practice foundations of Nkrumahism in social systems. Floor is yours, Kofi.
Yeah, Professor Kam, thank you very much. Well, if when you become a professor, you are always a professor in terms of teaching and writing. Basically, my whole academic work has been devoted in clarifying certain difficulties and problems in science, philosophy, and how they enter into the practice of human existence. The whole thing is geared towards decision making. Now, these two books, The Theory of Categorical Conversion and The Theory of Philosophical Conscientism, has its beginning at my undergraduate school at Temple University. So it has been a long period of development. And those days in Temple, I didn't have the analytical tools to deal with the particular questions that I was trying to ask and answer. You know, the first thing bothered my mind is when I took a class in economic development, and I had the very difficult problems with my professors. In a sense, what they were teaching, I did not believe that it helps understanding the whole of development. And I go back, read Nkrumah's book on the philosophical conscientism, decolonization, and development. Now, what I came to find is the relationship that he pointed out about quantitative and qualitative motion. And so the question is, how do you answer those qualitative and quantitative motion? Our mathematics is just basically on the quantitative motion and quantitative characteristics. Now, in terms of change and transformation, which is particularly interesting when you study the society, had never been thought of, you know. So I went back to study a lot of different forms of mathematics, and actually happened to be one of the pioneers in the fuzzy mathematics and fuzzy logic. The reason is that it is consistent with African conditions and also helped me to resolve certain critical problems that Nkrumah posed. Now, this is what I call the Nkrumah's problem. And the Nkrumah's problem is also the African problem. In fact, actually, it's a general problem of societies, and it follows out from the Marx problem, Schumpeterian problem, and what we call the problem of transformation. How does society transform itself from one stage to the other? That is a very, very difficult question, because it's not like what we do in the aspects of economics about quantitative changes, you know, and talk about national income and growth and all those. It's about building institutions of research, institutions of universities, and all these come into being to transform the society. And this institution building is also motivated by decision making, and this decision making must be based on a certain logical structures, and this decision making is central piece of my work, most of my work, either in philosophy or in mathematics. It's about resolving and solving problems of transformation. See, transformation, decision-making process. Now, Nkrumah's problem was just simply this, during the time period of colonialism. How do you decolonize a place and move the place to independence and then to complete emancipation? That was the problem. From within, that is very important, from within. So his thing, just like the sum of the problems of Marx, is to enter into what nature does. And what nature does is nature transforms itself from within. That is called qualitative motion. How do you conceptualize that? That conceptualization comes with the introduction of Africa's principles of opposites, in the sense that everything that happens in this world is based on principles of opposite, divided into duality and polarity. With relational continuum, that is where the problem, the debate between mathematician is called the intuitionist mathematicians, in the sense that one is not necessarily one. One is one because what? We say so. And the logical foundation of that is what is currently thought of as fuzzy mathematics and fuzzy logic. That is, for every negative, there's a corresponding positive, and vice versa, without which it doesn't make sense. And so, every element has to be dualized, and this dualization creates conflict. And this is the foundation of Africa's principles of opposite. But you cannot solve that principles of opposite and the force that it generates without the understanding of the logical continuum based on fuzzy logical systems, but not the classical logical system. The classical logical system comes with zero or one. Now, fuzzy logical system comes with the zero and one and all in between. So there's an infinite value system. Now, you can think of one, even in the simple economics, when we talk about supply. Supply has no sense if there is no demand. And when we talk about mathematical optimization, we optimize good subject to what? Bad. Bad minimize subject to good. Now, our Nkrumah's problem is to try to understand how nature works and then use that to help transform the African conditions. How nature works, he called it categorical conversion. Now, it requires a very powerful understanding of the current mathematics of called category theory. And this category theory is the most advanced level of mathematics that is being studied upon. Now, in between, from the category theory, the question is how do you create categories? Notice very carefully, as my students here, right here at Howard University, how do you know the person that just passed is a female. They say, oh, no, no, it's a female. I say, how do you know? You see, what the point I wanted to point out to them is that every element that is within our linguistic structure has characteristics. And these characteristics establish distinction and commonness. So the collection together of elements is based in the observation of the characteristics. That is the foundation of category theory. Now, from the category theory, we have to explain one important thing. How does one element in one category moves to the other element in another category? In other words, how does the brain generate the mind? Or the mind is generated from the brain? It's extremely very important. You know, we call it the mind-body problem. But the mind-body problem is actually the forces of nature, where characteristics are transformed by forces of energy into a different conditions, you know. So by understanding that, it gives us a clear understanding about conflict, which is the principles of opposite. It allows us to look at duality, which I split into negative and positive characteristics. And for every pole of polarity, so we have colonial pole and independence pole, there's a conflict. Together they form political polarity. And the question is, how do you move from the dominance of colonial pole to reverse the process of dominance of independence? From within, that's very important, because Nkrumah's idea was simply, how can Africa transform itself from within? Okay, and this is also true of every society. Now, I'm using this. The book is about general theory of transformation. But I use the African conditions to point out what Nkrumah's problem was at that time. And by doing that, that led me to construct this. It's just a little bit, I mean, there's everything for everybody. In a sense, those who want to understand the mathematics can concentrate on the mathematics. Those who want to understand the philosophical logical system of transformation can concentrate on that. But it is just a little bit technically written, because I wasn't writing with the understanding of general public, because I have to try to solve certain scientific problem. Now, the theory of categorical conversion lays down what I call the necessary conditions for transformation. Necessary conditions. That is extremely very important. But you can't stop at necessary conditions. It's just like in the theory of optimization. We talk about necessary conditions for optimality. But we don't know what the optimality is until we add the sufficient conditions. And the sufficient conditions is created from here, the theory of philosophical conscientism. I'll tell you what the theory of philosophical conscientism is about. It's about decision making. In other words, how this says you need to create institutions. This says, how do you create institutions? It lays down the foundation of transformation. Now, I'm giving a very little example. When the imperial system entered into Africa with colonialism and all, any other place, what they do is to transform the mind. It takes a little while to transform the mind and change the mind on the independence of people's existence to believe and accept colonialism as good for them. And this is what every imperialist system works. So when the mind is transformed, it is easy to govern because it's called manufactured consent. You accept it and you continue, the masses continue to support the colonial system. Now, the same reverse, we have to introduce in reverse process when the independence is actually decolonization happens. How to move the people from decolonized state with the colonial mindset into independent states and work them to build their economic structure towards complete emancipation. That is what this book is about. And it talks about institutional creation, the personalities. Now, I remember one time I President Obama said, the Africa, what they need is institutions, not personalities. And I said, this is nonsense, because institutions are not God-given. Institutions are developed by people. And the type of institutions comes from the decision and intentionality of the people's mind. Now, wrong mind develop wrong institution and kill people. You know, so what the idea is to try to put together the logical systems. Now, notice what we want to do is to transform. And the whole notion of transformation, in fact, I have three new books that are coming. By the way, two of them are in production. One is called the Theory of Infostatics. The other is The Theory of Infodynamics. It's a revolutionary approach to all the theory of information that you see. Because there's a difference between communication and understanding of information as a foundation of knowledge. And you have to try to understand all these things, because some of us just take it without asking certain important questions, you know. And so this book lays down the elements that require to create the sufficient conditions for transformation, for which Nkrumah was about. So, like, for example, why African studies? Because Nkrumah went down to University of Ghana, and he was telling them, that's the time he initiated the African studies program. He says, you have to teach African studies for everybody has to take the course. The reason was that you have to change the minds of the people from the colonial set to believe in themselves. And then he said, it is better for the African to do and fail than for somebody to do it for them. Because when you do and fail, you learn from it. It's called the principles of learning by doing, which I've written a lot about in mathematical form. You know, because it's part of the learning theory, you see. So this book, Philosophical Consciousness, laying down the foundation, I have taken a painstaking work to work on what constitutes the foundation of African studies as curriculum. Not what they teach here. What they teach here is no good for Africa. No, I'm not. I'm being very honest. Every time I talk with my friends in African studies, sometimes I ask the question, they get a little bit uneasy. Because I say that what you're teaching here was not the foundation of what was supposed to be taught. The African studies is linked to Nkrumah's ideological institute to transform the mind of the people to believe in themselves, to affect decision, and what we call the intentionality of knowledge. Knowledge is not just knowledge. Knowledge has to be transformed into decision-making and create transformation of society and its institution. So that is the whole thing. Now, the most important thing that is to note, the theory of categorical conversion established the necessary conditions for transformation. The theory of philosophical conscientism established the sufficient conditions of transformation, without which transformation cannot occur. And I, and all this together, for those that are daring, you can also check a number of my books. The first one that is very interesting to read is called The Epistemics of Development Economics, Methodological Foundation of Transformations. It's quite different from what they teach at the economics department, you see, because me, I was very upset with this, the approach of economics department in terms of methodological approach, and I say something like this. You are poor, and since you are poor, you have low income. You are low income, your savings is low, you have low savings, your investment is low, you have low investment, so you cannot grow. So I asked them, my professors, I said, what kind of nonsense is this? You know, I mean, I had a great conflict with some of my professors, other professors, because I was a theorist, and that's how I've grown to be. You know, and a philosopher and mathematician. That's me. You know, now when I wrote my book, The Epistemics of Development Economics, you know, one of my professors called me and said, the only person that I know who write this kind of book is you. I said, oh, prof, you know, we are all engaging in what? In the debate of the subject matter. Now, that book, it's a different level. The mathematical foundation and the philosophical logic behind it are in these two books. And these two books are also followed up by my two new books coming, which is The Theory of Infostatics, you know, and The Theory of Infodynamics. That every decision that you make, whether you like it or not, is a transformation of current state into a new state. Now, whether you like it or not, then the problem that comes, which is the logic of the current study of measures of information, you know, how do you get rid and know or the content of doubt in the knowledge that you have constructed? It's very powerful system, you know. But let me tell you this, honestly, these two books, even though it said The Rational Foundation of Incrementalism and Practice Foundation of Incrementalism. Okay, let me tell you, these two books take Africa in. You can put the Pan-Africanism in, you can put the British in, you can put America in, because it's a theoretical base showing how, under the principles of opposite, with relational continuum, backed by fuzzy logic and fuzzy mathematics, and the construction of categories, from the viewpoint of new foundation of mathematics category theory, we can explain by conflict how an old society collapses and a new society emerges. Now we are working with what I refer to as actual potential polarity. There's always the actual, and there's always a potential. There are many potentials. There's only one actual at any moment of time.
We are listening to a discussion on the social and political philosophy of Dr. Kwame Nkrumah with Dr. Kofi Kissi Dumpre. Dr. Kofi Kissi Dumpre is professor of economics at Howard University. He is author of many scientific and scholarly works in economics, philosophy, and decision theory. Some of this work includes his 2006, Polyrhythmicity, his 2007, The Theory of Philosophical Consciousness, his 2006 African Union, Pan-African Analytical Foundations, his 2017 The Theory of Categorical Conversion, his 1995 is Epistemics of Development Economics, Toward a Methodological Critique and Unity. Our show was produced today in solidarity with the Native, Indigenous, and Afro-descendant communities at Standing Rock, Venezuela, Brazil, Colombia, Kenya, the Avalon Village in Detroit, Palestine, Jackson, Mississippi, South Africa, and Ghana, and other places who are fighting for the protection of our land for the benefits of all people. Enjoy the program.
Now, the conflict in societies, also in nature, leads to transformation of dominance. Now, the negative may be dominating the positive. The positive may be dominating the negative. The question is, if the society decides that the negative dominates the positive, just like what we've seen now, people fight, you know? Like, look at what happened. By the way, I have two books that is worthwhile to take a look. It's on democracy. And I define democracy as the institutional framework, an algorithm to resolve the conflict of individual preferences in the collective decision space without violence. Now, so what is happening in the France, for example, is not acceptable. What happened here after the election is not acceptable, because it defeats the whole purpose of democracy, because decision-making with conflict is very difficult in practice. And you have to build institutions that allow the acceptance. Those institutional creation is what leads to the development of the philosophical consciousness, because it deals with the intentionality of the society in decision-making process, you know? And of course, you're not going to find everybody agreeing. And so what in the case you are talking about is, if you take a look at this book, The Philosophical Consciousness, or The Categorical Conversion, you will probably, there are certain aspects of it that may be a little difficult in terms of the mathematics and the physiological structure, which people are not familiar with, except some of us that work in at the academy, you know, because it's not a common mathematics. You know, you'll find out there's a powerful understanding from which the African thought system gave birth to the classical European thought system, where the zero and one are the opposite. In between it, it's called the principles of excluded middle. No, we don't talk about principles of excluded middle. We talk about the principle of relational continuum. And I give a number of African examples. Let me give you a very interesting example. You go to the Adinkra symbols, and the Adinkra symbols are plenty on the internet. You see there's a two-headed crocodile. Okay? They are fighting, but they are connected to one stomach while they are eating. What they don't realize is that they are eating into the same stomach that supports them. But they'll fight and fight, and the stomach gets nothing to support them. You know, it is called the Funtumriku Denchemriku problem. Another situation which I try to explain is the Asantrophe Anoma problem. The Asantrophe Anoma is a duality, cost and benefit. Every element has a cost and a benefit. That's what I do. That is the justification of the study of cost and benefit. Why? Because this book can be bad for you, it can be good for you. Depends on how you use it. The seed that you are sitting in can be good for you, can be bad for you. University can be good for you, can be bad for you. And in fact, the whole notion of transformation is that you destroy. Transformation means destruction and creation. Now, that's very important. Nature destroys and creates. And we mimic nature. Humans have nothing new to say except what we observe in nature. You see? So the point here I'm trying to give you is, how do you understand transformation from the principles of opposite, which is composed of duality? The duality is composed of negative and positive characteristics. And then you come to polarity. And there's actual potential polarity. There's actual and there's a potential. Polarity is more or less opposite elements in a negative form. But in each pole is duality. Each pole, there are two poles. The actual pole and the potential pole that is somewhere here. You know, there is duality. And they fight within the dual, trying to change themselves. You know, that's how society works. Without the conflict, we cannot move the society forward. But the idea is not to create conflict. The idea is to try to understand the conflict and how we can use the conflict to improve the quality of human existence. Because that's how nature does. Nature destroys itself. You plant a seed. The seed destroys itself, and what? A plant comes out. And the plant destroys itself, and a seed comes out. That's the whole notion of African continuum, or the principles of opposite. You know, and that is very good in the development of fuzzy mathematics. You know, Russell, and he talked about the vagueness. You know, and the intuitionist mathematicians and the fuzzy logic. We talk about the principles of opposite. This is the debate that has been going on for a long time. Now, the reason why you see there's the mathematics is on 0-1 kind of thing, yes or no, you know, with the excluded middle. It's easier to teach. It's more difficult to teach fuzzy mathematics. And you can look on the internet, you see the truth table. It's very complex. Why? Because that's how nature works. Now, let me put it this way. It's quite interesting, by the way. And they say in the following sense. Social constructs. Now, let me say this, as I try to tell my PhD students, all the time. The government is a permanent institution. The governance is not. Now, I separate the government from the concept of governance. That's why we go on voting, because what we are changing is the governing class. Now, the government, the governance, the people are the same thing, of the same society, in a different spectrum of decision making. You see now, that's the reason why I talk about democratic ideals and the work towards it, because democracy is the perfect state where, in fact, individual is supposed to participate. In fact, for those that are familiar with the economics, Professor Arrow won the Nobel Prize for saying that it is impossible. That's called the Arrow's impossibility theorem. Practice of democracy where everybody's voice counts is impossible. It's called the Arrow's impossibility theorem. You know, because think in terms of this. The practice must be decision-based, Everything is decision based. Even to create this, you know, in one of my books, I try to explain why, how engineering emerges out of natural order of transformation, because you have to destroy in order to build. Now, democracy, if pure democracy will be that every policy that we want to construct, we have to go and vote. That is an awesome task and destruction of activities. So we have the representative government. Now, when you elect people, they have their own preferences. They don't have to follow what they told the public they would do. They do something else. That happens everywhere. So the point I'm trying to get to answer your question is simply that the practice of the practice to create the sufficient condition would depend on the cultural foundations, how to pull people together. In some situations in this social setup of our globe, they have been in place, dictators, and dictatorship should not be understood. Let me tell you the weakness of Adam Smith. Look, you think manufactured consent, do you think our president, Trump, he talks about alternative facts? You think what is going on? Wherever, the Adam Smith model will lead us into a disaster because the government will not construct this road. And the road, if you're based on capitalist profits, certain things will not be constructed. That's how the government comes in. That's why I said from the beginning, all of us, including the government, is a part of the society. What this, the whole society is trying to do is to be able to move the society at a higher level of welfare. Okay, now how it happens would depend on the cultural confines of different people and different societies. You know, the African condition, for example, from the beginning, before the Europeans entered, was based on communalism. That is everybody, in fact, actually, there's a whole idea that every time the people get together to clean the place, work with the place, make sure that everybody is okay. When somebody does not have food, they provided food. Okay? Now, that is a different model. Now, some model, Adam Smith's model, in terms of the invisible hand, my position is that the invisible hand has always led to destruction of people. And I'll tell you why. It says, if you don't have food to eat, and you don't have a place to live, you should die. Because the market, you have to participate in the market. And who is, when you look at the government, who is actually controlling the market? The government. Look at what happened in the Wall Street. The people went there to demonstrate. They found out that the government is not the problem. The market is the problem. How it works imperfectly. The market works imperfectly. Question? No, my answer is that we all have to collectively participate. That's why you have to participate in democratic process. Because I don't know. You can say education. Is it a force? Nobody asks you to come to a university. When you come to the university, when I sit down, I have 120 students. I look at them. What am I doing? Shaping their mind. Why? If they don't write the correct, I give them big fat F. The same thing, the government does the same thing. What? Before I say something, let me say this. look at the society, there are three basic structures: the economic structure, the political structure, and the legal structure. The power to make collective decision is vested in the political structure. That's why when they go and overthrow government, the first thing is to overthrow the government. And then they can change the political structure, can change the law. And when you change the law, the legal structure, it affects the economic structure. Now, the question is, who does what? That's your question. Is it that we are doing this in terms of the mind that people will cultivate? How? It's not the government telling them. The institutions that we have set in place is actually doing the work. You know, just the difference between the Heritage Foundation and the other liberal arts think tanks. You know, because basically nobody knows what the truth is. We are all searching. You know, otherwise research becomes meaningless. Nobody knows the truth. And I keep on saying this, you know, entropy is the current state of development. That is my second book coming, you know, a third book. In a sense, what kind of information is embodied in the knowledge that people claim? And I have about three articles on the fundamental questions of physics. You see, because you can't be, all these things are related. You know, you can't talk about a change in engineering where you destroy and rebuild without having to know the foundations of ontological existence. The ontology here means, you know, that which we is created, whether it's God-given or whatever it is, I don't know. But it's different from epistemological existence. That is the knowledge that we, you and me, have acquired, and who we are changing it. The professor changes the knowledge, because knowledge today may be nonsense. It might be nonsense tomorrow. So you're asking me who is going to, the government is going to tell people? I'm trying to explain. You read and you find out it's good. You try to practice. And that's what knowledge is about. And research, by the way. When you look at the, say, the Ghana conditions, you during Nkrumah's time, or the Nkrumah's vision, you cannot neglect one powerful idea: the power distribution of the globe. You see, I explained that aspect in my book on African Union, and this book is designed to also support. This is what happens. When you decolonize, you know, you remember I was talking about polarity and duality. The other pole doesn't go. The negative pole is still there. The question is, you have to work to reduce it to the minimal ineffectiveness. You see, no, this power system is that which creates neocolonialism and destroy independence. Now, in order to retain the power of independence, in order to build emancipation, you need to create some form of relational structure that will preserve Africa's sovereignty. And Nkrumah's idea is individual African countries happen to be too weak and small to defend their own independence. Now, notice very carefully, there's a colonialism, independence, decolonization polarity. We move from colonialism to decolonization state. How do you move from decolonization state to independence? You see, but in order to do that, you need the power from which the frame you can make decisions. Otherwise, you cannot. That was Nkrumah's problem. Nkrumah's problem was not only in Ghana. But he realized that, you know, I say this and I continue to say this. If there's any logical system that is a foundation for Africa's emancipation and other parts of the world, it's the philosophical consciousness and categorical conversion. Now, the reason is very simple. If you understand the necessary conditions and you understand the sufficient conditions, then the practice of it, you are talking about the practice of it. The practice of it requires a continual creation. Creation doesn't stop. Independence is not just stop, because every time there's a change. And I say this again, when the world, life itself is defined by problem solution process. When you solve one problem, it creates a new problem. When you solve that problem, it creates a new problem. The type of problem that will be created depends on how you solve it. So it's a continual transformation, otherwise the world stops. You know, now, you see, the first one I came here, I was just saying, you know, like, for example, like the Africans who came here, whose roots now we call African Americans. From the basis of this theory, it comes to the point that, my brother, it comes to the point that slavery is possible at our time. Because, you see, what happens is that the remnants of the negative is never gone. It starts to rework itself because it's about dominance for a change. It might not change to the old time. It changes to the new foundation. So when you look at the prisons, privatization, as he's talking about Adam Smith, see Adam Smith's solution. He says that Adam Smith's solution is that, you know, if you you solve the problem by making the private individual market to solve the problem of crime, you know. Now, see, we forget that the market solution does not have what? Value structure in it. It's just about transaction. The value transaction is not in there. So how you feel, what I feel, it's not. The only thing I do, and I write a lot about this, you know, in terms of theory of preference ordering, you know, based on subjective preferences and idea, but to the individual. Now, what here, when there is a problem, we lead to patriotism. What is patriotism? Patriotism is communalism. Now we appeal to the individual to be what? To be in communalism. You want to destroy Social Security. Now, you go back and see how Social Security emerged. People even died for that, because at that time it was communism. You know, so it is a continual transformation. And so, okay, my thing, this thing, it says, just like I said, and people study Marx, not the scientific component of Marx, but the ideology. The same thing people criticize Nkrumah for ideology. Let's look at the scientific component of what is important for us to learn to incorporate. New ideologies will merge. You know? So my thing is that, let's say, if you read this this book, by the way, this book has to be read intersupportively. Why? Because this lays down the sufficient condition. Just like you are doing optimization, you have sufficient conditions and necessary conditions. This gives you the necessary conditions. the rational foundation. And this gives you the sufficient condition, the practice foundation. But it gives you an idea of how to create. You know, you can't just sit down. Institution will not build itself. We have to build the institution. Now, if you think Adam Smith's idea is good, we have to build institutions that will implement Adam Smith. No, we cannot, you see, by Adam Smith, this thing will not happen. What do you call the Social Security? No. Those people who are retired and out of work, they should do what? They should die. It's a dog-eat-dog kind of market system. And that has not been, you know, we talk about economics because market is profit-making process. Now, if you have no government, people will go and cut chalk and sell it as aspirin and other forms of medicine. It has happened before. If you don't check meat, people will go and kill other people and sell them in the market. That's what the market is about, nothing but transaction. You know, and so let's try to think that when we talk about the untampered market system, let's think about what the results will be, and in between the complete communism, the government, and the complete market. And I try to illustrate in what I call the private-public frontier. In a sense that the goods and services that are being produced, there are some that can be produced by government. There are some that could be produced well by the private sector. Don't let us try to be so ideologically that we like private sector. That's nonsense, because it never happens that way. You know, currently we call it the mixed economy. Every economy in this world now is mixed, including even the Chinese economy. It's not the communism. Now, the one thing that I want to point out, this book also point out how to transform this university. No, it is institutional transformation. Because the university has a conflict. You know, you see, I was telling one of these faculty senate members, how come this country, this institution, people get what? They get associate degree and they get into tenure. They stop writing. They stop doing research. And they ask for more. And the same thing, how come the governance is not providing the support that is required to create greater and greater research? You know, you have to think about all this because there's a conflict. And that is true, by the way, for every institution that you can think of. And so when you get out there, there are a number of things I want you to understand from the African thought system. The principles of opposite, composed of duality, and the duality is composed of negative and positive characteristics.
Look what you desire.
Fighting each other. And then there's a polarity. Every pole has duality.
Go, go, go.
Trying to destroy itself from within. Nobody destroys people from outside.
Go, go.
We are here, the people. We can make this place a better place. Or worse place.
Go, go, go.
That's it for Africa World Now Project for this week. I would like to thank you for joining us today and look forward to spending time with you next week. We can be reached through all your regular social media platforms, email africaworldnowproject@gmail.com, or follow us on Twitter at AFWRLDNWPRJ. I'm your host and producer, James Pope. The Africa World Now Project Collective consists of international media journalists, executive producer and human rights activist Moise Muntali, Africa World Now Project media correspondent Funa Ngunda, Senior Researcher and Content Contributor, Dr. Tasneem Siddiqui. Technology Advisor is Byron Gray of Grayworks Technology. And Creative Director is Judah Pope. Africa World Now Project is heard every Wednesday at 7 p.m. on WSNC, NPR affiliate and broadcast service of Winston-Salem State University. Shows are archived weekly on SoundCloud. Search Africa World Now Project. Until next week, be safe, be peaceful, and above all, be intelligent. I hope you got what you need, and that you need what you want. Go, go, go. Go, go, go.